this?
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
But I'll probably hate it.
I think I've addressed that. Yeah, the guys that are here are working hard, and we're getting better each day. We have a long way to go. We'll just take it one step at a time.
And that's it. That's it. That's the Brady and, to some extent, the Rob Gronkowski story. Another big passing camp, another big organized team activity. Everyone is down there installing offense, working, quarterbacks, receivers, everything. And Tom Brady, who's in town, right? We're led to believe, is here, is still not. And I continue to be blown away by that. And I don't care whether you think that's a big deal or not. Here's the deal. It is a big deal. That is a fact. Anyone around the game will tell you. If your quarterback is not here for this stuff, that is significant. And I continue to be blown away, Maz, that Tom Brady is still not here for this stuff.
Well, you should be. Again, when you get to this stage, this goes against everything that he has stood for during his time with the Patriots.
He and they stand for. Everything they've stood against. Everything. I'm sorry. Go.
No. To me, this is now a he story, not a they story. And I have felt this way largely from the beginning, that this is about Brady. This is about Brady getting, you know, giving the finger to Belichick and saying, I'm done being there unless I have to be. That's it. Like, to me, it's really, I don't want to say that simple, but that's the message. That, okay, Bill, you're going to do it your way? You're going to be that rigid on certain things, even with me, who has been there for almost 20 years now and helped you win every one of those Super Bowls, if not been a bigger reason then? Like, this is Brady saying, fine, no problem. I will be there at the mandatory reporting stuff.
I just can't believe he's doing it at the expense of the team. Because he's doing it at the expense of the team. I can't believe he did it. I can't believe he's done it. Like, I was wrong. I thought he would just show up because he would have to show up. It's just the way he's wired. And he ain't wired that way anymore. And that is not a good thing. You don't want Tom Brady being wired any differently. And he's wired differently. He's different. He's changed. He's different.
I mean, especially when you see him chucking footballs in Monaco on a boat.
He's always sort of done crap like that and wanted to do crap like that, but he always showed up for this stuff.
Well, but that's what I mean. The contrast of it is striking. Like, you know, you can't show up for camp, but you can do that. Like, that's what I'm talking about. The contrast of it. It really is a big middle finger to the organization and to the coach.
Oh, God, the coach. I get it. So they're in a ping match. I got it. At the expense of putting himself and his team in the best position to win. That I can't believe. That I just like refuse to accept that he's doing that. But he is. He is. And he continues to do it. It's just insane. The guys have been down there a month. And the quarterbacks have been out with the receivers working against the defense now for a couple of weeks. And the first team and the offense install, where you've got rookie receivers, new receivers, continues to be run by Brian Hoyer and Danny Etling.
Yeah, you got it right.
Thank you.
Very good.
Number 58 in your scorecard.
I'm going to call him Eddie.
It's just outrageous. I am sorry.
Eddie Etling.
It's ridiculous. I can't believe Brady's doing it. I still can't believe he's doing it. It sucks. Because that means he's different. And you don't want him to be any different. You don't want him to be wired any differently. Or think any differently than he's thought. Because he's been just an impeccable football player. Impeccable. And now he's different. Now he's letting different voices in his head overrule the football player, which is not good. Which is not good. And Gronkowski's still not there. I thought that was going to be done last week. Didn't all those writers talk about, like, oh, well, you know, it's a year since his last renegotiation. At the year anniversary, he can renegotiate. It seems like it's all sort of set up, and he'll be in last Thursday. And now we're next Thursday, and he's still not there. So what's up with this?
Good question. To me, I'm surprised by that one as much as anything, because, again, I thought it was a pure date formality thing that, you know, they'd get the deal done and that'd be the end of it. Now, look, I don't know. Is there like a physical and all kinds? Is it a paperwork issue, a language issue? Is there some sort of snag? I have no idea. But I'm almost more surprised that Gronk is not there this time than Brady is. Like, I do. I wonder about, like, what's going on there now?
I mean, that was supposed to be cut and dried contract. The reports were that they had agreed to something or were down the road, and all they needed was that year renegotiation anniversary, and he's in. Well, now it's a week later. Where is he? He's still working out and tweeting, you know, vague crap online, of course, which they all keep doing. So I don't know. It's not good. It's not good. That's all. It's too, you're making too big of a deal of it. Maybe. I'm not telling you big deal, small deal. I'm just telling you not good. Not good.
See, I want to see how all this stuff manifests itself, too, when the actual season starts. And when I say, you know, because this thing, this stuff doesn't go away just because they show up. There's clearly an issue there between the quarterback and the coach that has spilled into the tight end and the coach, and who knows who else, because Edelman is on board on some level with Brady after that whole Instagram post. If they have adversity during the season, I think this makes it less likely that they will be able to endure it as well as they have in the past. Like, so, to me, that's a huge part of it.
Okay. Mike Florio had some interesting comments about, is it the beginning or the end when Brady does show up? Next week is the mandatory stuff, and he's going to show up for that, apparently. And that does that end it, or is that just the beginning? And that sort of speaks to what you just mentioned as well. How does everybody handle it when they do get there? And does Belichick fire back in any way? I have some thoughts on this. I mean, Brady hasn't been here all offseason. When he shows up on day one, does he get the first team reps? I mean, it sounds sort of silly to say, right? But if Bill wants to bust his balls, if Bill wants to be a ball buster and say, no, we just, the guys that have been working here are going to work and you'll work your way in like everybody else who just showed up.
No, then I hope Brady holds out then. Like a real holdout. If that were to happen, I hope he would literally give him a middle finger, actually both hands, and walk off the field and say, see you when I see you.
Oh, God, would I root for Bill to do that?
Oh, I would be the... I would come in with my face painted with a 12 on it every single day if that happened.
And you know what I'm rooting for now? Is for Brady to do that. And for them to go 11-5 with Brian Hoyer and still go to the playoffs. And just come a game short. Because they would. The league still sucks. Their division still sucks.
Yeah, don't get me going on Brian Hoyer.
Pick a day, Hoyer.
I get off the bus on that one. But
Hoyer
do,
went 10-6 with Cleveland.
But I do believe in the team sort of structure. I believe in the team hierarchy, the team philosophy,
I would love all of that. I'm rooting for Bill to fail Brady on his conditioning run.
I mean, how can anybody really support the idea of the great player making himself bigger than the team?
I do.
I don't. I never have in any sport.
Well, again, the Super Bowl proved the chicken and egg theory. Who's the more important play? Who's the more important piece? It's Brady. It is.
So what's aggravating me? So I'm starting to root against Brady. Like you're starting to root for Jimmy Garoppolo to get hurt. Murray.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of rooting for Bill to really bust Brady's balls, and for them to have success without him. Starting to root. That's just my nature. You know. If you're allowed to root for Garoppolo to get hurt. What's the difference between rooting for Brady to get hurt to prove the same point? Like, I'm starting to go on that other side of it. But I hope.
Well, that's fair. Everyone gets dug in with a take. It happens.
No, it's not. But it's not even that.
Or a feeling.
I'm sort of dug in with the feeling. Like, I just, I don't know. All of a sudden, Brady's going to pull this crap after they force the trade to the kid that could have taken over for 10 years and set you up for 10 years. It's just outrageous to me.
It's just prima donna, diva, baby bullcrap.
And if it's going to get to this, if Brady's going to do this, he's in town, right?
Yeah.
But he's not going to go work out with his teammates.
Correct.
I'm rooting for Bill to bust his balls when he comes back. Second team. You haven't been here, Tom. What do you want? I mean, Tom's put him behind. Tom's not behind. I know that. I mean, he's fine. But, you know, you just heard the reports of the practices today. Sony Michel's getting yelled at by Ivan Fears, and this guy's getting, because they don't know where to go, and Brady's not the one doing the yelling. He's not the one they're working with these guys. So he will, and I assume they'll catch up, but they're behind. If I'm Bill, I bust his balls right back. And what's sort of aggravating to me, too, and we mentioned this yesterday, is that this is tying into this now, this culture war narrative, right? Like, there's a culture war down there. Cassius Marsh, that a-hole, was the last guy. That suck a-hole was the last guy to weigh in. And now people are sort of lumping in the Cassius Marsh comments with Brady and Gronk not being there. And, oh, by the way, those a-holes in Philly are doing it again. Lane Johnson. And I'll read you this story coming up. And it's sort of like they're tying it into, well, it's no fun there. Bill's riding him too hard. What do you expect? When that's just, don't tie those two together. Don't tie those two together. Brady wants a new contract or wants his trainer in the building, and it's sort of related because Brady's got a big business launch going here, and Bill's sort of standing in the way of it. So it's at the end of the day, it's money, whether it's technically his contract or his business. But that's what's going on with Brady and with Gronk. It's always been about the contract. It ain't about the culture or whether having fun or not having fun. These are separate issues. You've got older, entitled players who are now acting like it. It ain't about the culture. It ain't about the fun. But everyone's now tying it together, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, and to me, I'm sorry. Again, I know I keep saying this. It all goes back to Brady. Because there have been other guys over the years that have criticized the way the Patriots do things. They don't pay play. How many times have you heard that? So whether it's Lane Johnson or Cassius Marsh or someone on the outside, you know what that we used to do in the past when those guys said stuff? They were ignored, largely. Yeah, whatever, okay, fine, no problem. And the Patriots went about their business. But the problem now is that Brady's not there. So now all this stuff has more merit because of the quarterback.
So it's now a storyline down there. The reporters ask Bill about it. So Bill said something about Kobe Bryant, which we'll get to. That's now your character representative, Kobe Bryant. Talking about the Mamba method? And how to win and all of that, that's now Kobe. That's your guy.
Boy, how the mighty have fallen. Remember when they used to bring in Bill Russell?
Kobe. So anyway, Bill, we talked about Kobe. And then I think it was Phil Perry, I think, followed up with the question about, are you doing this because you got to keep things fun for the players? Here's that exchange.
What brought Kobe Bryant to practice yesterday, and what was his message to the guys?
No, so the second one. So the follow-up with Phil Perry, the second part of that.
Phil, you mentioned the Kobe Bryant visit. You mentioned in the past you're not the easiest guy to play for. Is it important for you to come up with ways for players to feel like they're enjoying themselves as they're putting in the work that you ask them to put in?
Yeah, well, we feel it's important to us is to win. So that's really what we're trying to do.
Huh, imagine that, Lane Johnson and Cassius Marsh. So Phil asks, is the bring in Kobe and part of this thing of you needing to, keep things light for the players? I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but... And Bill says, no, it's what's important around here is to win.
Don't you love that answer?
Yes.
Like, talk about simplifying it to the point where everyone should be able to get it. Like, no, we're just trying to win. Like, you idiot.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm not making fun of Phil Perry.
No, Phil's not the idiot. Cassius Marsh or anyone else who's chirping about that.
Like, the idea that Belichick, in Belichick's mind, the whole thing is about one very simple thing, winning games. And so, look. I don't want this to come off as some sort of staunch defense of Belichick, because I thought in the Super Bowl, Bill got in his own way. Okay, we all know that, and people are now confusing the issues. But in terms of the day-to-day operation of the team, if the coach doesn't have authority, and you can't put players in their place, no matter who they are, well, what's the point of having a coach? Really, what's the point of doing that?
How about being worried about having more fun than winning? It's just outrageous to me. And the people linking the two between Brady and Gronkowski. Sorry, I get off there. Starting today's program, your thoughts right after this.
The Sports Hub. You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it. 98.5,
The Sports Hub. The Patriot Way is a fear-based organization. Obviously, do they win? Hell yes, they win. They won for a long time. Do I think people enjoy? You can say, I had a lot of fun playing there. No, I don't.
Right.
That's just God honest truth. Are they successful? But when they go to interviews, they act like robots.
Right.
Hey, let's stop being a dickhead. We can be cordial for a little bit. Hey, you only get to do this job one time, so let's have fun while we're doing it.
I like that. I like that.
Not to be reckless, but hey, I would much rather have fun and win a Super Bowl than be miserable
win five Super Bowls.
Yeah, win five Super Bowls, but hey,
it is. And never eat tomatoes.
Lane Johnson, he was back at it down in Philadelphia at their mini camps. I'm reading from Espe again. That's Lane Johnson, the tackle there for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's been sort of been on the Patriots from the Super Bowl to this point. This is from Espe Nation, from like their Eagles writer. Just more bashing of the Patriots, more sort of accentuating what I'm calling a culture war, and the culture of the Patriots, and how the basically this story sort of highlights how the Patriots do things one way, the Eagles do things a totally another way. It's loose, and it's open, and they choreographed their touchdown dances, and the two cultures met, and Philadelphia prevailed.
Good versus evil.
Yes, exactly, and sort of how the Eagles' way is really the way, or you can have success with that, too. And then the story ties in, which is frustrating me, the Brady stuff with some of the other stuff, again, From ESPN's in-depth reporting from January, it revealed there's a level of tension in the organization. It didn't stop there. There were rumors about Rob Gronkowski retiring early because he wasn't happy anymore. Tom Brady, meanwhile, has been uncharacteristically absent from the OTAs as he pleads the fifth when asked if Bill Belichick truly appreciates him. In more recent news, former Patriots player Cassius Marsh said he hated his time in New England. It made him, for the first time in his life, think about not playing football because he hated it that much. So again, they're tying that all together, which is they're separate stories. Trust me on that. So speaking after an Eagles OTA practice on Tuesday, Pro Bowl guard Brandon Brooks talked about, and this is former Pro Bowl guard Brandon Brooks, talked about how playing for Belichick protege Bill O'Brien, who employed the Patriots' methods from who was employed by the Patriots from 07 to 11 and employed them with Texans, what that experience was for Brandon Brooks. So this receiver talks to Brandon Brooks about playing for Bill O'Brien in the Patriot way. Here's the conversation. The reporter says, Cassius Marsh came out and said it's no fun to play for the Patriots. Brooks says, it's crazy that people haven't known this. It's been this way for like a decade. You've seen, well, Reggie Wayne did it. He retired. He went there for a training camp and retired. Stuff is not fun there. I was under the same regime in Houston. I almost retired. Stuff was miserable. Every day. Every day. The reporter asks, why? And Brooks, again, Brandon Brooks says, you see this here, man? And sort of pointing around to the camp there in Philadelphia. How we're all just hanging out. The game room in there. I guess they have a game room in the locker room.
Yeah, probably playing Fortnite.
There's none of that, man. It's like you just come in and be a robot. The reporter asks, where's that coming from? Is someone telling you to be like that, or is it just the atmosphere? Brooks says, it's just the atmosphere. The reporter says, is that just accepted? It's just how it is? Brooks says, I'll put it this way. I was going into my third year in Houston. O'Brien had just come in. And you know, players who've made Pro Bowls, All-Pro teams, whatever, they had their pictures on the wall and stuff. It was down the hallway as you go to lunch. You get to see how players handle the business. Well, when he came in, man, all those pictures were taken down. TVs in the cafeteria were off. He would never tell you what to say to the media, but he would always be like, now, I can't tell you what to say to the media, but some things that you might want to mention are things like, I'm here to do my job, stuff like that. You know what I mean? So eventually you get the same answers from all the guys. You start to realize what's going on. Reporter says, well, that kind of sucks, right? Brooks says, it's just tough to go to work every day, where obviously everybody has a different personality, but you can't be who you are. The reporter says, so it's not even like they're treating you like adults. And then guess who jumps in?
Lane Johnson.
Lane Johnson jumps in, because he's sort of lurking around the conversation in the locker room. Lane Johnson says, well, I feel like they have a recipe for success that's worked for so long, so keep at it. They do what they do. And the reporter says, does it make you appreciate more being here? And Brooks goes on, and then Johnson jumps in again and says, all the media wants to talk about is rings.
This is the comment I highlighted. Keep
rings.
Going.
He says, all the media want to talk about is rings. I'm going to get this ring, meaning the one he just won, and never wear it one day. I'm going to put it away in a box. The only thing you're going to remember from your playing days, you're not going to remember the scores. You're going to remember the people you played with and how you felt. That's the truth. Do you believe that?
Well, so you know who says that?
People who lose.
No. The average Joe who plays on his high school team or maybe plays a little for a Division III college somewhere, but not the real athlete. Like the average person in the world who has to like get a real job says, you know what, I don't remember a ton of the games I played in. I remember the people, though. I remember that. That's true. But a pro athlete? For a pro athlete to say that? It's all about the wins. You idiot. That's all it's about. It's about the wins. It's about the games. That's all you remember. When you're a pro athlete, that's all you remember.
And you know who's giving fuel to this guy's fire and Cassius Marsh's fire and every, you know, this piling on now of the Patriot way? You know who's giving it the green light and is really giving it fuel?
Brady.
Brady. By not being here. And by pulling that crap at the end of the documentary and the wife going on about he wants to have fun and feel appreciated and Gronkowski tweeting out the same crap, be free, he said to Amendola, or have fun or whatever. Those guys are feeding this narrative. They're giving it the fuel.
It's Brady.
Because really, at the end of the day, who gives a rat's ass about Cassius Marsh?
Those guys all play off of Brady.
But when you're on the outside, you can lump Cassius Marsh in with Brady and Gronk and say, oh, that way is that's faltering or that. And it just could not be further from the truth. Brady and Gronk, at the end of the day, they're both about money.
See, and the Gronk thing, and I'm sorry, I just draw the line at Brady. Because Gronk, Amendola, none of those guys have the balls or the clout to take it on the way that Brady has. They don't. Brady keeps his mouth shut, they don't say anything, or they get shuttled out of town like everyone else. It's Brady. Brady's the one that allows everyone to get away with it. It is 100% about Brady.
And so let me just give you one more. So why do you think it's like that? The reporter asks Brooks. Why do you think it's like that? Why isn't it more like here, meaning in Philly, elsewhere? And Brooks says, because it's won them rings. So people think that's what it is. But when the Cowboys were winning, they didn't have, you know, poster boys. They had some dudes who were going out and having a lot of fun and still winning games. But, you know, that was their recipe. Obviously, the Patriots have theirs. It's just the Patriots. It's in your face. They've been in your face for the last, what, 8, 10? No, I'm going to just parenthetically add Brooks, 18. So they've just been in your face about it. The people who would say the Cowboys did it a different way and they had the same amount of success, their run was over after 5 or 6 years. You know why? Because they all went around having too much fun. They were too worried about having fun and getting off. And I mean like getting off away from the field for whatever their various vices were. If I'm a Cowboys fan and I have half a brain, I look back at that Cowboys run and I'm pissed. Like, you guys won only 3? That talent? Is that team? It was before the salary cap too, right? Even if you want to play that game. Like, you had that kind of talent and you only won 3 and you were done in 5 years? Because why? Michael Irvin had to run off here and Larry Allen had to run off there and who the hell knows what this guy was doing or that guy was doing. It was, you know, Animal House. So neat. You won for 3 years. How couldn't you? That talent? But it was over in half a decade. Why? Because you couldn't keep your crap together because too many guys were worried about having fun and being their own personality. Don't you get it?
Yeah, I also include the element of the owner undermining the coach, but that's just another story.
Well, maybe
for
there's a
day.
Little parallel there, but to me, it starts with the culture on the team. They couldn't keep it together because they were more worried about getting their rocks off in various ways than they were about maintaining the winning.
Yeah, what I'm saying is just the structure broke down. It broke down on multiple levels, every level imaginable. And so, again, because lots of teams have 5-year runs. Hell, the Seahawks had a 5-year run. You could say the Broncos did, for crying out loud, or something close to it. You know, independent of the number of championships they actually won. You could say that those teams all did. The only one that compares to the Patriots is the Niners. That's it. That's the only one. And to have that type of success with the same coach over that length of time, to me, that part of it's about the structure.
But it's just insane how these guys don't get it. Lane just wants to have fun. He's not going to remember the winning. You're not? You're not. That's not important to you.
That comment blew me away.
Oh, it is just such a joke.
Again, that's what someone says who, you know, yeah, I played varsity sports in high school. And now I'm, you know, I work in sales or I work, like, you know, that's who makes that comment. Not someone who makes a living competing.
Okay, I promise. Your reaction right from Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
There is an inclination among some to just say, oh, this is no big deal. Mm-hmm. And, hey, it's a big deal anytime a starting quarterback doesn't show up for off-season workouts. That's a huge deal. And when he does show up, people will assume it's the end. I think that's the beginning because I can envision Bill Belichick making a bunch of snide comments. Well, if, you know, people who were here for off-season workouts understand what the requirements are, whatever it is, and just driving Brady even more crazy. And I think that's at the root of this. You and I have talked about this in the recent past, the idea that 18 years of Bill Belichick is enough for Tom Brady. And when he shows up, if Belichick starts being doom again, like he was with the Giants and has been the last 18 years, and Bill Parcells gave him that nickname, then I think Brady may decide to push back a little bit, and that's when things can get really interesting. Yeah.
I heard that cut on the Midday Show the other day. Mike Florio on with Tom Kern on one of their podcasts. I'm sorry, I'm not sure which one. But the point being that when Brady comes back, it's not the end of the story. It might just be the beginning, depending on how everybody acts. And this is why I'm saying, I know it sounds stupid to say, but would you put it past Bill to bust Brady's balls when he comes back?
No.
In terms of You haven't worked with the ones have been working now for over a month, Tom. You can work with the twos until, or, you know, the conditioning stuff. Fail him on the conditioning running. I mean, would you put it past Bill to push back in some sort of petty way like that?
No, look what he did in the Super Bowl to Butler. No, how could you put anything past him?
And I'm almost rooting for Bill to do it.
Okay, but the only variable, there's one variable in this whole thing to me. The you know, the way you're portraying it, and that's Kraft. Kraft. Like, is there an understanding with Robert, between Robert and Bill, about how much time he has left and how he's going to manage it? You know, Bill, just bite the bullet, you're done in a year. Like, that to me is the one variable. But, you know, is it beyond Bill to say, hey, Tom, thanks for showing up. Third team's over there. Oh, did I say third team? I meant fourth team. Like, get your ass over there, and when you're ready to go and up to speed with everybody else, we'll put you in.
And who would Kraft side with there? After Brady runs to him and says, what happened?
Brady, of course.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
There's the door, Bill. Bye.
Yeah, no, so, but this is what I'm talking
about. And I'd sit there and cheer.
Yay! What a mess.
Yay! And Josh McDaniels would be the new coach, and they'll be 12-4 and go to the Super Bowl again.
So, listen, I've always been, this is where I get off, that I'm not with you on the same page, Murray.
I don't expect either of you.
No, but listen, I've always been a Brady's more important than Belichick person, okay? But I also believe in the structure of the operation. And the reason it has worked over the years is because Brady has been willing to buy in. And so that keeps the whole thing in line. That keeps the whole thing working the way it's supposed to work. So one of the reasons that everybody celebrates Brady here is because he doesn't act bigger than the team. He doesn't act like a diva like Pedro or one of those jackasses with the Red Sox for all those years. And, you know, Pedro's an extreme case. But you get the idea. So I can't get behind the behavior. I believe in the quarterback over the coach, too. I think it takes both of them. If you held a gun to my head, I'd pick the quarterback. But at the end of the day, once he gets out of line, how do you support him?
Yeah, they're both stubborn a-holes, but I'm actually siding with the more talented a-hole that I think is more responsible for the success here. So I'm going with the quarterback.
All right, reaction, please. I promise. Here's Tim in Hopkinton. Go ahead, Tim. Tim! Okay, you can call us when you get out of the car wash there. Here's Howard in Amesbury. Hi, Howard.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I agree with... I didn't see it coming, like the soap opera that's going on between Kraft and Brady and Belichick. And it's kind of, like you said, Mike, I think it's going to be maybe the beginning when he comes back. But what I wanted to talk about, Maz hit it right on the head, was I was going to say, you know, I have a regular job. And if I was lucky enough to, and I played sports, but if I was lucky enough to ever be a pro athlete and I was just like a role player, like that schlub, you know, Cassius Marsh, and I still made millions, you know, I'd want to win. I wouldn't want to be on a team that loses all the time. So he's just got sour grapes, and he's just, you know, I just think it's hilarious to listen to these
guys.
That's
a joke.
They're so lucky.
What are your values? Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, what do you value? Is it we having fun? Like, it's got to be fun for me. Or is it about grinding it out, working hard, trying to accomplish something, and even if you don't, putting in that effort? I mean, that's the reward. That's what's fulfilling. Not about making sure you start with the fun. No, you know what's fun? Is working hard at something. And ideally accomplishing it, but even if you don't, going through that process. I mean, I don't know if fun's the right word. It's rewarding. But you start with the fun? I mean, it's a millennial thing. The kids just want to be happy. Let's just make sure the kids are happy. Like, you know what? Instead of worrying if they're happy, how about see if we can get them to put an effort into something and go through that process and be rewarded by it, and hopefully they'll have fun doing it, but what's more important? And I just, good God, Cassius Marsh. But what's really frustrating me is that they're linking that to the Brady thing, which is not, that's not what this is about. Brady is totally fine with not having fun and just concentrating on winning. So Brady has no problem with the culture. He's having a problem with the coach getting in the way of his individual thing. Jerry in the car. Go ahead, Jerry.
So can you, either of you, please explain how it is could have kept Brady and Garoppolo? Was Garoppolo going to sit on the bench for another 3 or 4 years?
No, they couldn't have.
Were they going to trade Brady? How would it have worked, and how could they possibly have afforded it?
Trade Brady. They couldn't have afforded it. Maz thinks they could have franchised Jimmy. They were never going to do it. It's not a realistic option. Never was. The only option was to trade Tom Brady. Hard to do. Hard to do. So they didn't. I don't blame them for not doing it. But that, I keep saying, the trade-off is that you get Brady all in for the next 3-4 years because he promised to play until his mid-40s. at the same level with the same commitment. And it's not even 6 months into the post-Jimmy Garoppolo era. And he's already cut back on his work with the team dramatically. Like, that's not the trade-off. That's what's frustrating.
Oh, gosh, it's beyond frustrating. And again, I'm beyond arguing with you over whether they could have or could not have. My only point is when you have a unique circumstance, you take a unique stance. That's all. But that aside about Brady versus Garoppolo, you all know how I feel. They should have kept the kid. Okay? They should have kept the kid. You don't give away the next quarterback. It was a mistake.
Pete in Delaware. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. You know, it's funny. Brady is fed into this narrative now that about Garoppolo giving him an edge when he was there, because now that he's not here, Brady's completely changed. But, you know, how's he going to deal with the media next week? I mean, he's put gasoline on this fire with, you know, going to Monaco and making sure everyone knows what he's doing in Monaco, throwing passes for promos. And, I mean, he just has put fuel on the fire. How does he address it? Is he going to do his normal thing where he says a word or two and then walks away from the camera?
I don't think he has to talk. Yeah, I'm not sure he has to speak. He has his best buddies sing. Is it this weekend?
Yeah.
Okay. He hasn't spoken at that in years. And I don't think he has to speak during minicamp.
Well, sooner or later, though, he's going to speak. But you know what? I'll tell you exactly how he's going to handle it. Guys, I'm here to play football now and focus on the football. He'll take the Belichick approach. He's not going to get into the, you know, he's not going to give you the Jim Gray answers and I'll take the fifth and all that. He's not going to give you all that crap once he shows up. Because by then, they will have either met or, you know, and even then, he's not going to do it. He'll do it now because he doesn't have to face Bill every day.
But these guys are at it. I mean, but so now we got to figure out what you know, what are they implying on social media? Let's just, you know, Vinny on NBC Sports Boston. So this is the Brady Instagram post, Murray?
Yeah, this is from yesterday. It's Benny Brady wearing a bunch of gear. He's got the helmet, the pads on. Says he's, you know, ready to be the quarterback, you know, 20-some-odd years from now or something like that.
Okay, you said that means he's in Brookline. How do you know that? Is he?
That's the house. They're home.
How do you know? Have you been in their living room? Are those Giselle's drapes?
Sure. No, I mean, they're home. He's here for he's doing the best buddies thing this weekend.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Where is he today?
I mean, it's got to be home.
How do you know?
If you watch Tom versus Time, there's enough video of the background to know that it's his house.
Well, then she picked out some ugly-ass drapes.
I agree.
I think she's better than that.
I don't like the pillow on the sofa either, although they do match the drapes.
The pillow's fine. Those drapes? All right, so I'm just going to assume...
At home with Felger and Maz.
This is obnoxious that Brady's here and still not training with the team. Like, I find that even worse than him being in Monaco playing catch with the Prince of Morocco or whatever. He's here. A 15-minute drive away, and he can't work out with his teammates? Outrageous. How about the Gronkowski one, Vin?
This one to me was worse.
Okay, so this is... I mean, you all told me, meaning a lot of the football writers said they're working on a contract, they're getting close, they just need to wait for that year anniversary. Well, now it's a week later, he's still not in camp, and he's tweeting crap like this. No, show me the other one. So he's promoting something from a teeth whitening, right? So he's got a teeth whitening thing, fine. It's a promo.
Well, he's playing Fortnite.
Is that Fortnite?
I don't know, I'm just, you know, he's playing video games. What's the difference?
Here's the other one, a selfie. Feeling good after a workout, it says. Then at the bottom, hashtag never again. Then he writes, I will explain what that means one day. Go ahead, Murray. You like translating this stuff?
Well, all right. Yeah, I do. That is a post-sex glow that Gronk is wearing on his face. And I'm not looking at this as a workout with the bands or with Alex Guerrero. That is a post-romp workout with, what's her name, Camille Kostek?
Mm-hmm.
And hashtag never again. Maybe a digit win awry.
See, I don't think that's it at all, Murray. Because the top. See, that is a perverted point of view that I would.
So
look
awesome.
At that face. Tell me that's not post-coital face.
So will he explain what that means one day?
One day, when the book comes out.
Something slipped?
Yeah.
Whoops.
Whoa.
I'm not going back there.
Yeah. And there's usually a quick reaction. It's either, oh, or huh. So, you know, maybe he wasn't into it.
Okay, here's...
Oh, no, I have a hard time believing Gronk wouldn't be into it.
So, look, here's the problem. You very well may be right. But in this climate where they're practicing every day now, they're in these important passing camps, they're not there. The media is, and you've got now these ex-players and opponents around the league chirping about how Bill's losing the locker room and it's no fun and I hated it there and the guys hate it there and all of this... And Brady and Gronkowski, especially Gronkowski in this thing, doing this, All that does is feed that narrative.
Oh, sure. Yeah, if you want to put the Felger and Maz slant on it, he just worked out with Alex Guerrero or by himself with the bands, and he's never worked. He's not working with weights anymore. Hashtag never again. I'm done with weights.
Bingo!
Being told to do squats.
So again,
things of that nature.
No, that was a creative interpretation by you, Murray.
He has a digit.
Okay, but the reality is that most of the world is going to interpret it the second way.
Yeah.
Okay, which is exactly what you just said. I just finished with Guerrero, new technique, pliability matters, I'm never going back to that old way of working out again, don't listen to the football people. Like, that's, to me, that's what the message is. How, what else could you possibly take out of that?
Well, what Murray said.
It's a hell of a smile.
What Murray said. Good job, Vin.
Now, look.
Now, Vin throws out.
The picture? The picture might actually be after the workout with, what's her name?
Camille. You.
But the message is for Bill. Like, I'm telling you, I think that's a total shot at the Patriots and the football method of training.
The thing is, Gronkowski to me is someone who wants it to be fun and wants to be himself and wants to show his own personality. So I think Gronk actually would feed into that. Brady, we know, is totally fine showing up and just doing whatever it takes to win. That's who he's always been in the past. So Brady is totally fine with the no fun culture.
Or maybe he's changed.
No, that's not it. What's it is Bill got in the way of him and his trainer. That's it. And maybe he wants a new contract. I think Brady is totally fine with it being no fun and just about winning. I think that's what Brady actually prefers.
So when I say he's changed, I'm just saying maybe Super G has changed him. Maybe he's become more Brady-focused and Brady-centric. Less about the fun and the work thing than it is about being about Brady. I find it unbelievable that people are going to defend Brady on this. With all due respect, Murray. Like, since when? Since when can the Patriots preach what they preach about team? Going back to 01 when they were announced at the Super Bowl, the whole thing has been about the group. From day one, now all of a sudden the quarterback's on an island and it's okay? I don't get that.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Maz bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What brought Kobe Bryant to practice yesterday, and what was his message to the guys?
Have a ton of respect for Kobe. Obviously a great, great player, had a great career, and spent the day with him yesterday. He had a lot of great observations and things we could learn from. So just he's a tremendous guy.
Tremendous guy, yes. Kobe
Bryant.
Oh,
yeah, no, wonderful human being, yeah. Really. I mean, what was he busted again for, that whole
time? Attempted rape. I mean, it's not even,
the wonderful guy, that Kobe Bryant.
I don't know if he was even busted or whatever, but that's what he was, that's what you're speaking to, right?
Yes, correct. The hotel incident with, I don't remember her name.
I mean, so this is a guy, why is Kobe Bryant there? He's coming up with a lifestyle brand, like the Mamba method, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Mamba mentality.
So he is a 5-time champion who has a lifestyle brand / training method that he wants to impart to the team, right? I mean, why else are you bringing Kobe Bryant? How I won 5 championships and how I do it and what I can impart to you. Maybe something if the Patriots had someone like that. Oh, that's right, they do. Except he's playing catch off a yacht in Monaco. I got it.
You know what? I tell you, I know Beadle mentioned this earlier in the day. Belichick's sticking it. He's tweaking Brady.
See, I don't know if he is or not, but I can't help but draw the line. Bill always has guest speakers in and whatnot. All I'm saying is, like, all these teams and the Patriots in the past have always had to bring in guys like this to say, this is what it takes and this is what it is. When the Patriots have the living embodiment of it, they have Bill Russell on the team. Except Russell's not showing up because his trainer is not allowed to give him a rubdown in the locker room. Right? So it's like that sort of feeds into the frustration. You need to bring in a Kobe Bryant to talk about the things that you have in the corner locker, in your locker room as you speak.
Yeah, I told you. I know that, it's embarrassing that Brady's not there. It is. It's embarrassing.
Okay.
I think it makes Brady look the worst out of anybody. And I know Bill brings in speakers. That's a pretty interesting coincidence, though, isn't it?
Kobe Bryant. And Kobe and Tom are tight, so that I'm not sure it's totally to dig on Brady, because Kobe and Brady might be in business together, for all we know, or soon will be. But it's just like, there's nothing Kobe can say or tell these guys that Brady can't himself. Like, it's, I don't know. I can't help but draw the line because I'm frustrated Brady's not there. All right, Maz, did you know this quickly before we hit the top of the hour?
Yes, go. I do know, but go.
Do you know it's National Donut Day?
National Donut Day. Paul Perillo's been doing cartwheels all day.
So it's actually National Donut Day tomorrow. It's June 1st. And when you get a day like National Donut Day, you got to bring in someone who knows what they're talking about. Todd Wallace from Dunkin' Donuts joins us now in our Town Fair Tire studios. Todd, I'm so excited I can't get the words out.
I know. Out. Wow, tongue twister.
What happens on National Donut Day?
We give away millions of free donuts. So stop by any Dunkin' Donuts and get a free donut with any beverage purchase. Easy as that.
It's only one per person?
It's one per person unless you buy two beverages. Then it's two free donuts. If you buy 12, it's... 12.
Yeah, I'm asking for my friend Paul Perillo because I'm sure Paul,
put
I know.
Him to the test.
Well, Paul's going to buy two drinks. You're going to give him like eight donuts.
No. We'll give two donuts. There are some rules. You're right. There's an asterisk.
So basically, walk into a Dunkin' Donuts shop tomorrow.
Yep.
Purchase any beverage.
Yep.
Whatsoever.
Frozen coffee, cold brew. Yep. Anything.
What about like a bottled water?
Go for it.
Oh, all right.
Give it them out.
And you get a free donut.
Yep.
So that's what happens on National Donut Day.
Yeah.
Did National Donut Day exist before you guys came along, or did you sort of carve out National Donut Day? Is this officially federally is my mail going to come tomorrow?
It's one of our official holidays. You know how you get X holidays per company? Yeah, that's one of our holidays, but I don't know if it was actually there before we came along or not. I can't testify to that.
I'm going
to
ask for time and a half tomorrow is what I'm going to do. Seriously.
All right.
And the other guy you need to watch out for is Greg Bedard.
All right.
If he walks in and he asks for more than one donut for each beverage, just...
We'll post a photo.
Greg's another one. But when he comes in, you'll know it's him because he looks like a donut eater.
Sounds good.
Todd, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
See you.
Again, as National Donut Day tomorrow with a free classic donut from Dunkin' Donuts with the purchase of any beverage. That's what's going on. Get a beverage. Get a free donut. America runs on Dunkin'. No commercials. Update, and we're right back.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Beasley Media Group Station.